Without further ado, let's jump right out to the phones and bring in a man who knows a lot about a lot of stuff and entertain. Why are you laughing?
That's a great intro.
Well, I took time to write it out here. That's Vince awesome. Cellini, the familiar pipes and the distinguished look, the look of a he has the look of a high energy major corporation CEO, but he sort of masquerades as an NBA guy with Shaq and all the guys on set, NBA TV and TNT on NBA and TNT. Vince Cellini joins us. I'll be all right. I've been up for a couple hours already. The show's gone well up until right now.
No, TK, it's always good to be with you. You know that.
I appreciate that.
My time with you. Yeah, what an exciting game. I was up a little late. I'm having some coffee here now and doing some research. I was up late watching the Cavs and the Jazz last night, and what an impressive job by the Jazz once again as they deny LeBron in a visit to Salt Lake City. But great, you know, what can you say? I thought the thing that jumped out at me, other than playing without Hayward last night, was the fact that they were really disciplined in their offense last night. I thought that they stayed with their sets. They did a great job in being patient offensively. And I wonder, Tommy, how much of that is getting some stability with Shelvin Mack coming over from Atlanta, and really a kind of a trade that maybe was under the radar. It was one of those, oh, by the way, Shelvin right. Mack's going to go to Utah. But it shows you that, you know, here's a guy that's been the veteran that worked with Quinn Snyder in Atlanta. So there's a familiarity there with their relationship and has been great. What, 58 points in his last three games?
Yeah, he's been on fire. Yeah, I mean that's a great great insight from you. I mean, you look at all. You could have gone with Hood or Trey Lyles, a rookie, hit some big shots, but I went off. I had a little rant earlier in the show. It's surprising to you that I would have a rant from time to time, but I said the name of Trey Burke's pain has now become Shelvin Mack, because I've been. All fall, I was saying they need a point guard, and I was thinking of more of a veteran, because the Jazz, second lowest payroll, $60 million. They got money. But they reel in this guy with a second-round pick, and he is 17, 10, and 7 last night, or 8. I mean, almost a triple-double, hitting shots. He's a big defending guy. Gordon played with him at Butler. I mean, there's so much familiarity, and you know, there's the question about what they were going to do with Trey Burke is moot now, because this guy, and Raul Neto is a really good backup who's been surprising to everybody with his defensive presence, and he shot better than we thought when he came over. I think that's interesting. And I want to flip it up and wonder about Tyronn Lue and the Cavs. 30-11 when they fire Blatt. And we kind of knew, didn't we, that was just a matter of time.
Yeah, look.
And I'm not, defending it, because, but with Lue, they're 17-8. So just saying,
correct. So it's not like they're, you know, and they've had these games where they were supposed to win,
right?
You know, this is a game they're supposed to win. I know that they're at the end of a 4-game road trip. I get that, but you know, they just come off a great win against the Clippers, finish strong, and get back home, because you had a chance to also pick up another game on the Toronto Raptors, who
right.
lost. So I wonder, Tom, when I look at them, I think that, you know, they had 18-3 Sunday. Then they get just three happy in this game
yeah.
and start chucking up, and I think really settling for threes and not being patient. And they go to – when they get in that mode where they're pressed a little bit, sometimes they'll go to that ISO individual ball, which I understand, because they have two really good stars in LeBron and Kyrie. But you can't do that. You've got to get to the basket and – and I know there's a shot blocker in there in Gobert, but you gotta attack. And I think they settle too much. Look, they were 10 of 42 from three last night. At that point,
wow.
maybe that's not the route to victory. You know, that's what I'm saying. So, and Lue, interesting story. One of our analysts just did a Cavs Lakers game, and talked to Lue about LeBron's tweeting, and said, look, are you going to have a conversation with him? Because it's like, okay, it may seem harmless, but then players have to answer questions about whatever his tweet was. And I know you had that. You know, the tweet that took place a couple of weeks ago where, you know, you can make a mistake, or I'm paraphrasing what LeBron said. And Lue was like, no, and I didn't talk to him about it. You know, it's just one of the things. So I thought Lue was going to be the guy that could go to LeBron or could go to anyone and say, look, this is why we're going to do it. This is what we're going to do. And you know, I have rings and I'm a four player, so I'll have more of a grasp on what we're supposed to do, and you'll be able to listen to me maybe more so than Black. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that team is ready to be reformed or reshaped. I think LeBron is really smart regarding, you know, evaluating what happened, good or bad, after games. But at the same time, is there a commitment to really changing how they play, other than sometimes going to a smaller lineup? So Cleveland's really, really talented. Channing Frye's supposed to come in and be that guy that gives them the extra shooter when they want to go small. We'll see. But still, I think that they have some internal questions that need to be answered on that team. Do you feel that way as well, Tom, when you watch
Absolutely. And, you know, you made a great point. This NBAWire.com fast break here on ESPN 960, catching up with NBA TV studio host Vince Cellini. Great insight so far. And you contrasted the Jazz patience and running and offense versus the Cavs. I was watching last night, and, you know, they just huck stuff up. You don't give the officials a chance to reward you by putting you on the line. Kevin Love, a superstar in other places, is a role player. And he had moments, but they don't go through him. And you mentioned, you know, Kyrie Irving, 7 of 23. He can't beat those guys off the dribble and get to the basket. You know, it just looked to me like they thought Gordon wasn't in the lineup and they were going to roll. And that's on Lou. That's on the coaching staff. And you're right. I remember when he came in, you know, we're going to do things differently. There's going to be accountability. There isn't.
Well, I looked at last night's game. They were 5 of 8 from the line. They went to the line
That
just can't happen. I'm with you on Love as well. Love is a guy who's been a punching bag for a lot of critics. And I just don't know, is he being used properly? I mean, how could a guy be that great in Minnesota and, you know, look at the player that he has become now, where it's, you know, I don't know, is he a stretch four? Is that what he's supposed to be here? I don't even know if he knows. So, look, it's one game. They were coming off a great trip. They played really well.
Yeah, the blowout in L.A. was great. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but look. I don't know. I think they still have to figure some things out. They're talented enough that, yeah, they should come out of the East. But when you're looking at some of the monsters in the Western Conference, we'll see. We'll see
I think
series. But as long as you have that guy, you do have a chance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy's about three guys. Dellavedova, just a complete, you know, like a little bit of a vapor lock. Dellavedova reminds me of, like, Craig Sager playing with us at Georgia Tech years ago. You know, just getting in everybody's way, flagrants all over the place. But you kind of love him if you're on his team, and if he's on the other team, you hate him.
You know, though, I've watched Deli lately, and he makes pretty good
basketball.
He's
smart. No, he's smart, yeah.
And he's a guy that sometimes will come in and settle them down offensively with a few assists. He had 5 assists last night.
Yeah. Like he will run an offense, won't he? He'll run something. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think he's improved in terms of trying to become better, an all-around player. And as far as that label of, you know, he comes in, he's reckless, look, things happen. I didn't hear anybody call Damian Lillard a dirty player last week when, you know, he rolled up on Andre Iguodala in that game going for a loose ball. So those things happen. That's good aggressive. I like a guy who plays aggressively. I like that. But I'll go back to one of the things that you said about last night's game. And, you know, to play without Hayward, Trey Lyles came. He's the guy. Now, Hood had a great game, and I've liked Hood since I saw him in Vegas Summer League when he was a rookie just coming into the league. Lyles came in and turned the entire game. I mean, he came in and was great last night, just great offensively. So if they can figure this out, so what happens when Hayward comes back? Jingles is back on the bench. He's a reserve guy. And
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
and then it adds to their bench. And I want to ask you more about the Jazz, but you mentioned, you know, Lyles has been really good. When they drafted him, you know, I thought rotation 4, he's going to be a solid player. You know, I don't know if he's going to be a star, but he'll be a solid player. He's good. His 3-point shooting was suspect, but he shot well. I just wanted Devin Booker, and that's the guy that went, I think, a pick or two later to Phoenix. I'm thinking 6'5", athletic, shoots like crazy. Jazz need 3-point shooters, so that was my comparison. Now, and we'll see, but. As the
well,
Jazz,
look,
that guy
stepped up. No, he. I mean, look, Booker is. There's a lot to like.
Yeah.
With that guy, because he has that skill that you're talking about. When you have that kind of a skill, it definitely translates. And you can see that he's become a really good score, albeit, you know, with a team that's, you know, always lost with Phoenix right now. But, no, there's a lot to like with his game. I mean, what is he, 19? He's 19 years old, so...
Yeah. And the guys there say he's a better defender, he's a better athlete than you think. Like, when you watch him up close and you see how he handles himself, he's a good team kid, and he works hard and better at everything. So we'll see. But let me pivot to the Jazz. They get Phoenix here. Gordon, yeah, do you like that? I might drag the pivot foot, which would be a travel, but in your league it's okay. So Gordon has plantar fasciitis, and they won last night, so they're not. I imagine they would rest him with Phoenix in town Thursday. Then he has almost a full week, and they head out on this five-game roadie, season-defining, I'm calling it. It's the Bulls, Bucks,
right.
Houston, where they're battling. They're tied with Dallas for the 7-8, Jazz two games behind. And then it's OKC. I mean, it's a tough road trip. But Quinn Snyder is saying it's not be-all, end-all that we make the playoffs. Gordon is saying we got to make the playoffs. What is your perspective on this team? Yeah, they've had injuries, but the West, the bottom half of the West is down. And if not now, when? If not them, who?
Wow. I love that setup. Here's what I think, Tom. Look, obviously they've got to be a consistent club, and they've won their last three. They'll have to play overall the type of basketball that we're seeing in this little mini stretch. The way I see it, I think they need help. They're going to have, and if I had to pick one of those two teams, I think they have to have Dallas sort of help them and continue their little backpedal that they're taking right now. And that's how I see them getting in. I don't know about Houston. Houston, although unpredictable, they have two guys, well, really three guys, but two guys right now that are playing their basketball. Dwight is now back and engaged. And getting touches, and then Harden does what he does. When they defend, when they choose to defend the Rockets in spurts, they're really good. But it's just that they don't do that all the time. I just see Dallas as, I wonder if they have enough juice to get to the finish line. So I think Dallas is going to have to back up a little bit, and that would open the door for Utah. But, boy, that's a tough trip.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And they face Houston in that trip, as you said. And then OKC, so that's a back-to-back, Tom.
Yeah.
So that's going to be
We'll
see. If not now, when? If not.
Somebody said that.
The second part, if not when, who?
If not us,
not when, who?
Yeah.
If not us, who? Okay, yeah. And who's that? What is that famous quote? Where's that from? Who
it's
that?
It's you name it. It's political. It's also CEOs.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think it's been pretty much, you can take it. You can borrow it. It's okay. But it's not yours or mine.
No. But just watching on TV, I just want to ask you. Now, Utah, Salt Lake City has always been a great place to watch basketball. It's just always been a very exciting. So are the folks fired up, or, you know, are they thinking, hey, you know, let's go.
Well, that's a great question. I honestly think they went through last year they were 11-2 out of the All-Star break. This year they were 3-9. With a much more difficult schedule, and obviously everybody knows Exum's not there, and Alec Burks, who now in my mind is injury prone. When you've missed most of two seasons, then that's the label. He plays so hard, and he's such a difference maker. But
love him.
You know, I do too.
Love
but it, but you got to be on the court. So I think the fans here. This is the most forgiving market I've ever been in. I think if this were New York or Philly or L.A., they would be, you know, what are you guys doing? What are you kidding me? How come you're not, you know, pushing for the playoffs? And that's Gordon is reflecting that as a player. But Quinn Snyder and Dennis Lindsay, you know, in their infinite wisdom are saying, well, let's tap the brakes. You know, second lowest payroll in the league, $60 million, which means they got money to spend. So that's what I'm thinking. Like, hey, spend it. You know, the West is down. And there's not the urgency, I would say. There's a patience that's been born of Jerry Sloan year after year after year winning, and they expect it, but they want to win the right way. So I'm a little frustrated because I'm from New York, and I want to see them bring in 3-point guards right now and go over the cap. But I would be fired. I tell my producer, John, I'd be fired my second day as GM. Because I am not patient.
Get this guy out of here.
But I think it does serve this team well, and the Shelvin Mack is a perfect example. I was calling on them getting, you know, Calderon or somebody else, and then they bring up they take their time and they bring in a guy who works in the system, and that's very Spurs-esque.
I love it. He's a guy that was you heard the guys talking about him on the broadcast too, and he was didn't get a lot of minutes in Atlanta, but he was patient and obviously a pro for you know, being willing to come in and work and make the most of his minutes as well. Can the Utah Jazz lure a free agent? How much help can free agency be to the Jazz?
That's a great question.
I mean, can you get somebody to come and play in a, you know, a little bit of a smaller market? Great place to play, great place to live. Our organization with really talented young players. Can you get free agent help?
Yeah,
I think
you can get mid range guys. I think, you know, they got Boozer and Mehmet Okur that famous summer when Boozer shook hands with the Cavs guy and then came here, but that's another story. And he winked. I think he winked as he shook hands, which he's known to do. And then they were really good, and Boozer and Deron Williams had the best years of their career here, and then they went elsewhere, and you know, the rest is history. But I think they can get mid-range free agents. I don't know that they can get a superstar, especially since next summer all the money's even with everybody getting $90 million and the salary cap blowing up. I think they lose whatever advantage they have with the payroll right now. I want to ask you, with the Spurs and Warriors coming up, we're going to have a festival in the next 6 weeks or 5 weeks. They play three times. So Saturday night, it's the Spurs and Warriors. It's the NBA Finals. It's just not yet, as we know. I'm wondering, what do you think Pop is going to do? They went into Oakland earlier in the year and got blown out, and he didn't seem to care.
Right.
Does he show Kerr how he's going to play them in the playoffs, or do they just run up and down? I do think that they want to send a message being at home, and they got that long winning streak as well.
Yeah, you know, the Spurs are, well, they're tough to figure because I understand what you're saying, but I don't know that Pop is a message sender. I think they go into games and the game dictates how they will go. I mean, if he has his starters playing poorly, you've seen him sit three, four guys and just go with reserves or figure out a lineup as they are playing. However, the winning streak is very long regular season. At San Antonio versus Golden State. So they have that advantage. Two of those games are in San Antonio. I'm not sure that they're as concerned as we are regarding where they finish in the standings.
No.
But they'll certainly put a dent, or they could put a dent, in this record run for Golden State. I like the Spurs, and I like the Spurs because, well, they kind of the last meeting blew up my theory of Kawhi can cover
Steph
Curry. And I was, like, convinced. I go, well, they can still put the claw on him, and then Curry just went wild. So now that's out the window. So there may be some
so much for Vince's insight.
there may be some reconfiguring now because he made me look stupid. But they, you know, they're getting healthy now, San Antonio. And they need Danny Green to play better Danny Green basketball is what they need. And they need his three-point threat.
I think I saw 42% last year, 33 this year from three, which is that's a whole player away. Who is this guy?
That's his job.
Yeah,
that's his job.
Right.
His job is to knock down threes and space the floor, and that has not happened. And so that's part of it. But, geez, Tom, when you look at a team, like we've covered the NBA for a long time, 60-6. The Warriors are 60-6.
It's unbelievable.
And 6 right now. And I just didn't think that we would see someone get that far out ahead of the pack. That could be 46 and a half games up on the last place team in the Western Conference.
you're not coming back from that, yeah.
No, but they're spectacular, and they play with the sort of relaxation, and the only way, and I go back to what I always say, great teams have to help you beat them, and the only way they can is if you, those guys are off. But that's going to be a mega matchup.
I'm just wondering.
I just want to plug tonight. We have the Spurs on NBA TV, our fan night game. I'll be with Isaiah Thomas and Craig Anthony as we have the Clippers and the Spurs tonight.
That's a good one, too. And I'm going to be watching and listening to what you say and seeing if you pivot off of your the claw can handle Steph. I don't know that you might back off of that. But I'm just wondering. I got two questions. I'm sorry, John's, you know, I'm blowing through breaks and stuff. That's okay.
Yeah, we're missing breaks.
I'll just bill you. So does it matter at
all?
I'm wondering if what it does matter to the Spurs Saturday night. Do they, isn't there, I guess the players would want to, you know, avenge the 30 point and maybe they want to knock the darlings off their high horse, or do they just, I mean, I'm just curious about their approach.
You know, I think so. I think it's important to them to say, you know, look, we're going to meet in the playoff. Their thinking is that they'll meet in postseason. So, you know, the Spurs, like the Warriors, are unbeaten at home. So I'm sure that if they're still unbeaten at home, that's an important factor. It's also important to get regular season wins against somebody and to plant that seed in the minds of Golden State, whatever that counts. So I think, I think it's important for San Antonio, and it lets them know that, look, you know, we're still the San Antonio Spurs, and we are with these guys. You know, we're because they have been.
Right.
They've been right behind them all year long. So I think it's important, Tom. Yeah, I think so, especially these three matchups will be indicative of what we might see in postseason.
Yeah, right. Last thought, what would it take if you could be assured from your fans, which are legion and in the millions, if you could get one or two whole rating points bumped if you went James Harden beard for the playoffs, if you did a Stanley Cup playoff beard, and I know you can grow it out. I don't know if it's quite as frothy as Beard's beard, but if you could get numbers, would you beard up?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But then I think I might look like Sean Connery in Hunt for Red October if I did that. I might look like
Crazy Rainey. Ivan.
Yeah. And I would be just one ping only during the course of the show. So, yeah, Tom, whatever it takes. If you want me to do it sleeveless or, you know, bearded, whatever. Funny hat. I'd put a box on my head. How's that?
Somebody once did that. Right. Somebody was way ahead of their time on CNN on that Calling All Sports show, and they came on your show. I don't remember who it was. It was some guy who's probably out of the business, but came on the show next to you with a box on his head. I wish somebody would send me that tape. But, hey, great stuff. This is, again, 30 minutes of your life you'll never get back, but we appreciate your throwing me some love for the old days, and your insights are great.
Absolutely.
I love talking hoops with you. And the fact that I laugh makes it so much fun for me to have you on. NBA TV tonight, Clippers, Spurs. Can't wait. Thanks, Vince.
Oh, thanks, Tommy. Always good to talk to you. So long.
Okay. Talk to you soon. This NBAWire.com fast break here on the Morning Drive with ESPN 960. Caught up with Vince Cellini of NBA TV and former CNN colleague of mine, and obviously a very funny guy. And that was great. Love that. That'll be reworked. We'll retweet that. That's on our archive if you missed any portion of it. Great stuff on the Jazz as well. We're stepping aside now. The Morning Drive continues with TK. It is just about 9 o'clock.